Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox, joined as always by Dan Holloway. We're here to talk some Braves baseball. Let's just fucking get into it. Oh, actually, I did want to compliment your hoodie before we
Thank you.
Began.
Yeah, it's real nice. It says the A-hole. Wait, just the A.
Just the A. You could get a Sharpie.
I might.
Yeah.
I might. I don't know. What do you think?
We're not poor. We can get someone to screen print it.
Yeah, but then you're like committing. I think that's a crime, isn't it? Well, I guess if I just made it one for myself, it's not that big a deal.
If you sell it, then it becomes a problem. There was a dude in St. Louis when I was in college who was making knockoff merch called the South Butt instead of the North Face. And North Face sued the shit out of them.
Yeah, you know, North Face and Patagonia are very litigious.
Yes.
My our friend of the show, Bert Koontz, made a shirt called Fatagonia. And it was their logo, the mountain range, but with biscuits and gravy. And they sued him for it.
That doesn't surprise me.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You're not going to make that shirt yourself. It is technically an indirect advertisement for your brand. Why would you be butthurt about
it? You would think
that?
There'd be a certain amount of parody law to it as well.
Well, they're a bunch of fucking dummies anyway.
That's for the courts to decide, right?
I guess so. And then going to the courts is kind of sucks
the
ass.
The courts always favor the corporation. Always. You're never going to win that battle.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Braves do win quite a few baseball games, so that's nice.
They do, and we had a good start. So we talked about it last week on the show.
This was a bit of an inflection point.
Yeah.
A tough road trip. Not that Kansas City's all that good, but they're decent, and San Diego's pretty good.
And going out to the West Coast, especially after, because this wasn't even like a West Coast road trip, mm-hmm. right? It was a random stop in Missouri, and then you have to go out to fucking San Diego, which is kind of tough. And this was also the beginning, like we talked about last week, of the start of the Braves' rough schedule. Mm-hmm. So June-ish is when things really ease up, and that's kind of when we want to go on our run. This current one, which is why we talked about stealing games from the Cardinals, sweeping the Royals. We talked about that ended up being huge, and the Reds as well, all that stuff. So we started with the Padres. That was the first tough series. The Padres are a playoff contender, blah, blah, blah. Took 2 out of 3 on the road in San Diego. And honestly, I'm not going to quibble too much over a 5-1 road trip, but we probably should have swept.
We should have, but I'm not going to complain about giving up 2 runs in 3 games to San Diego, right? I mean, the pitching looks really good, top to bottom. Bullpen looks good.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah, Max Fried came back, looks good, but it was just a hammy for him, so I wasn't really concerned about that, but we'll get into that as well because he's got some new stuff going on.
Yeah, and game 3, you know, on Braves Reddit, Braves Twitter, all that stuff, people were just like, 162 game season, shit happens.
I don't know. They gave away a lot of at bats in that game, which was, it's disappointing, but it's a fucking, the tail end of a fucking West Coast road trip in April. So what are you going to draw?
Yeah. And honestly, also stole a run from the Padres with Hilliard's insane catch. So it is what it is. It sucks to only go 2-3, I guess, in a series where you only give up 2 runs, but whatever. Shit happens. It's a long season. This weekend, Braves have a huge series as well. It's not really huge. There's not a ton of implication to it, but it's interesting. It's going to be an interesting series to see how they match up. The Astros are coming to Atlanta, and we face the top of their rotation, plus, I guess, their five-starter who has an ERA under 2 right now.
Yep.
Brown, it's a good pitching match, good pitching weekend, though. Brown versus Bryce Elder, game 1, both of whom have ERAs under 2. And then Valdez Wright in game 2 and Christian Javier versus Max Fried on the rubber game on Sunday, game 3. Should be an interesting series. Anything you're looking for I mean, Freed against that lineup will be interesting.
I mean, they haven't hit well all year, Houston.
The Braves off to a real slow start.
But the Astros are what, 9-10 right now or some shit like that. They're a game under 500, I think. The pitching's been a little bit better than I expected for the Astros, especially that other kid that you were just talking about. I can't remember his name.
Framber Valdez?
No.
Christian Javier? Oh, Brown.
Yeah, Brown.
Yeah.
They
have since, you know, cheating or no cheating, since, you know, the 2014, 2015 is when they made their first playoffs with Correa and that whole crew. They've had an excellent farm system the entire time, first under Luno. And now I forget their current GM's name, but he was in our front office and he just moved over to Houston. Mm-hmm. And he was the guy who scouted Spencer Strider. He was like our head of scouting or something. He scouted Spencer Strider, a couple other dudes. He was a huge part of Anthopoulos' front office, especially in terms of prospects and stuff like that. So I'm not surprised that, you know, the wheels are still pretty greased up.
I think the biggest deficit, aside from Altuve still being out, he'll be back soon. I think he'll be back next week, maybe.
I'll check
Depending on how he performs. And then they also have McCormick and Brantley out. So they're all three of those guys are going to miss the series.
Could be a good time to catch the Astros.
Yeah, it is. It would have been better if it would have been during Luis Garcia's time in the fucking rotation. But that's one thing that I predicted before this season began. Some hitters are having a little bit of trouble adjusting to the pitch clock and stuff.
Yeah.
But minor adjustments for the most part. And aside from Juan Soto, he's having a lot of issues with it.
It's interesting.
Because of all he had the longest time spent per pitch of any hitter in Major League Baseball last year. It was like 20.2 seconds.
Really?
Per
I didn't pitch. Know that.
Yeah. Because of all the stupid shit he does.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he's having a little bit of an issue. And then Luis Garcia has always had that weird, funky delivery that is now illegal, right?
Right.
And he's had to change that. And as a result, he has the highest ERA of his career right now.
Yeah.
And I predicted that before the season started. But it's been relatively minimal, I think.
I agree. I haven't noticed much. For the most part, everyone who's good is still good. And even Soto, to be honest, it's really only affected his batting average. I think he still has a WRC plus at like 120.
He walks a lot.
Yeah, he's still getting on base a ton.
Yeah.
So it's really just I don't even know. I don't know what his slugging percentage is. But yeah, it seems to be he's just not getting hits or whatever that entails. But I'm interested to see the lineup versus these three guys. Obviously, we don't have any of our injured players back yet, Harris or Darno.
I don't think there's any rush, to be honest, to get those guys back right now. We've been kind of cruising anyway, so why bother? But the things, I guess, that I'm looking for out of this series is I've been very interested in Vaughn Grissom.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed more that of the low exit velo stuff. I think it's his approach, though. I think he's guessing a lot because it seems like he gets crossed up on stuff a lot.
Yeah.
Like if you see a guy who is looking away and gets something in, some guys can adjust, some guys can't, some guys take the pitch, some guys try to swing and foul it off, some guys he gets sawed the fuck off a lot on inside pitches. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's an approach or a stance thing, but that's something that they need to start dealing with.
So I have it later in the outline, we can talk about it now. With Grissom in particular, he's interesting. If this were the 90s, you would think he was doing fine. He's hitting 273, mm-hmm. right? You would, for a kid his age in the big leagues, you would be like, okay, seems to be adjusting well. It seems like he's finding holes. But when you dig into the numbers with him, it starts to get not great quickly. For one thing, his average launch angle this year is 3.3.
He's hitting a lot. He's hitting the ball on the ground a lot. Yeah.
Which, you know, you want, I think they typically want it in the mid-teens for launch angle.
15 to 18, yeah.
Yeah. So he's essentially, smacking the ball into the ground. Okay, so his batting average on balls in play is 286. So he's not getting, I guess, lucky, you know, you could say, in that front. But yeah, he the exit velo's up a tick, but not where you want it.
Now, I wonder what the mode is, or the mean, rather, not the mode. So, you know, mean, median, mode. Mean is the average.
Yeah.
Median is the range that shows up most frequently. Mode will be the specific number that shows up most frequently. There's too many numbers for that. But the mean would be interesting to see. Does he have a high concentration at like 50 to 60, mm-hmm. and then a high concentration at 90 to 95?
And it's just getting dragged into the middle because of the number.
He hits the ball hard a lot.
He absolutely...
Like every other at-bat, he fucking smokes the ball, but then the next at-bat, he hits a dribbler. So I wonder if it's that.
That could be... He was robbed of a home run by the ballpark.
He hit the Christ out of that ball, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he hit it to the deepest part of Petco, where the ball... goes back, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like it's here, and then it's good. So at most other stadiums, I think that ball's probably gone.
Probably, yeah.
So that sucks. But yeah, I mean, it's the launch angle thing to me is probably more so an issue than an
approach thing. That's something that you fix on the tee and in the batting cage.
Yeah.
It just takes time for that stuff, which is interesting because it's one of many reasons that I'm starting to think maybe we need to trade him at this point because we're a win now team and he is a project. I think he's a project with as high of upside as anybody that's a prospect right now, but we can't afford to slot him in every day.
Right.
When Arcia is going to play better.
Yes. Right? And they think Arcia is a midterm guy.
Yeah, he's 27.
And they get signed, what, a 3-year deal?
Yeah.
So
three years, $7.5 million or something like that.
Right.
So,
and Arcia, by the way, we've talked about this before in the show, but he is a former top 10 prospect.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a legit dude. His throwing accuracy has always been a problem at short. Most of his errors come from errant throws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you heard a little bit about his defense, and I'm watching him. It doesn't seem to be range or hands.
It's not range or hands. No, it's always been throwing. It's like... I actually had a very funny argument with a buddy of mine on Twitter about it. It was like, Arcia's career defensive percentage is like fucking 87, dude. And it's like, yeah, I said he could catch the ball, not that he could throw it, right? And I looked into the data, and it is indeed, he has trouble throwing accurately, but it hasn't been the case this year.
Yeah.
I don't think he has any errors this year, actually.
I don't think so far. I mean, you know, when you got Wash as your infield coach and... Mm-hmm. Matt Olson's going to save a lot of errors.
Yeah, it is helpful to have a big-ass target over there as well. And then, you know, I'm not sure Grissom will ever have the range to play shortstop. I think he's a third baseman. I think he needs to move to third, so I think they need to move him to a team where he can play third base because Austin Riley's here for the foreseeable future, and so is Matt Olson.
Yeah.
So there's no corner infield position.
I mean, there's a corner outfield spot, potentially. Maybe.
Yeah, if you want to send him down to Triple-A and let him play some left field and see if he – I mean, honestly – after 2 weeks, you're going to know if he can do it right now or not at the major league level, and he's not going to be any worse than the people we're trotting out there now. Right?
We'll get into that. That's the other part of the Vaughn Grissom segment, but we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Astros series, that will be interesting to see Grissom against, you would think, the best pitching he's seen so far, although Snell...
Snell was good.
And there was another good Padres starter that we faced off against the weekend, but I can't remember.
Who it was. We didn't run into... Let's see. Who was it?
Did we play Darvish again?
No, Darvish wasn't in there.
Okay.
Let's see.
But, I mean, Valdez... I mean, Brown is young but seems to be good, but Framber Valdez and Christian Javier are both excellent pitchers.
That Weathers kid, Ryan Weathers for the Padres, he's 23 years old. He's looking real good this year.
I mean,
they've got a pretty legit rotation. Their bullpen sucks, but they got a pretty legit rotation.
It's a good team, and you got to think, given their recent history, they'll be making a lot of moves
to shore up the bullpen. Yeah, you would think so, but you know, going into any given season, bullpen pitchers from 1 year to the next, it's very rare that you have like three or four dudes on your team ever, like for a 5 or 6 years, that are all good all the time.
It never happened with the Braves. Even our sort of, I guess you could say, best iteration of our bullpen ever, the Oventrebral years with the.
But that was only 2 years because Venter's arm got fucking dragged through the goddamn mud. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I've never seen a guy get. I think he had 70 4 and 76 appearances.
I mean, Freddie Gonzalez would trot him out there with a 5-run lead. Yeah. Just it was just pure insanity.
And then, I mean, even this year, we've got a great bullpen, but we're missing fucking Matzik at least for the entire year, right?
Yeah.
And that he was a big part of our World Series run. We missed him from a lot of last year as well. So that's just how it is with bullpens. So yeah, they're probably going to go out and make some moves. You would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's other than like basically a closer, like, and these guys still exist to an extent, but like, unless you have like a Trevor Hoffman, Mariano Rivera type guy, there are no long-term pieces in your bullpen. Yeah. But let's get into the pitching a little bit. Actually, this is a very pitching heavy episode. First up, there's interesting shit with Max Fried. Before I get into that, I wanted to ask you though, what did you just think? What did you see in his first start back?
I noticed that, the command was really, really good. And I don't mean, like, he didn't walk anybody, but that's not what I mean. I mean, he was hitting the spot he wanted to when he wanted to, even if it was a setup pitch. So the command was really good, which is, you know, good because he was off for, what, 10 or 15 days?
Two weeks,
it was
basically.
Like, it was I think 12 days of not pitching in a game, something like that, 13 maybe. But you worry about rust. The guy loses because, you know, it's all about mechanics and rhythm, especially for pitchers. We see what happens when dudes get off a little bit. It's just like it happens to it happens to Charlie Morton all the time with his curveball.
Yeah.
He just can't locate it for like 3 games in a row.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it is an unhittable pitch for 2 weeks. But Max came back and he was super sharp. He was super sharp. And I did notice he added some things to his repertoire. I don't know if that happened. If this just gave him the opportunity to fuck around with it in bullpen sessions or something, but I've never seen him throw. He's been a fastball, changeup, and then 12-6 curveball guy for the entire time he's been in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden there's this, I don't know if you want to call it a back foot sweeper, but it's kind of a back foot sweeper almost in the, it's not quite as sharp downward moving as Clayton Kershaw's slider, but it's a different break and a different bend than you're seeing. There's a lot more, it's almost like a fucking a cutter on steroids, right, with a little bit taken off of it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because this is a problem for every major league pitcher, no matter how good you are, is the third time through the order.
Yep.
Right. That's why Maddox would give up a fucking hit before he would show you his third pitch in the first inning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, he had the confidence to do that. Not a lot of guys do. They just want to get outs. But that was pretty interesting to see a guy who's been in the league for this long all of a sudden come out with a new pitch just off of an injury like that.
And what's crazy about it, so it's a sweeper, also known as a slutter.
That was the broadcast crew has had quite a bit of fun with that. because in the latest game when somebody was throwing a sweeper, they said there's another word for that, but we're not allowed to say it on television. So I don't know if they got reprimanded for it. But the idiots at Atlanta Stadium put the word slutter up there.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody use slutter before.
Ever. This year.
I feel like there is somebody in the booth or somebody in the running the fucking board. And it's like, oh, it's a slider cutter. You ever seen anything like that before? Must be just like, don't say that, dude. And it was up on the board like 6 out of the 8 positions were that. Francoeur had a good time with that. That was pretty fun.
Of course he did. Yeah. So he's throwing this pitch, and this would be his fourth pitch. Like, it's not replacing the curveball, right? Like, the curveball's still there.
Yeah, which is nice because the curveball he uses in the 21 World Series run, especially, he was so good at this. The release point and the peak arc of that curveball is the same as his chest high fastball, which is he throws in at about 96, 97, impossible to hit. You can lay off of it if you know it's coming, but if it's backed up with that curveball, you don't know which one it is, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same arm slot, it's tunneling. That curveball is nice. It's real nice, but you've got a lot of data on this about the, I don't see spin rate, but definitely about the break. What's going on here?
Yeah. So the, StatCast already rates this sweeper as his best pitch, which is insane for like, I think Stuff Plus is what it's called, that it rates it as his, his best pitch. It's so last year he did have a fourth pitch always. He had a slider, right? But that was his fourth pitch. It goes fastball, change, curve with him for the most part. So the slider had 1 inch lift and 4 inches of, you know, cutting and sweeping it, roughly the velo, 87 miles an hour. The sweeper is, it's got a 2 inch drop with between 9 and 15 inches of sweep. Stuff plus score, I'm not going to bother to say because I don't know what that's in relation to, like what a good score is, but they say it's his best score in stuff plus. It goes, it's between 81 and 85 miles an hour. So it essentially, I mean, 15 inches of sweep, that's just across the whole fucking batter's
box. The plate is 19 inches from black to black. It's 18 inches just white part of the plate.
Yeah.
So that's quite a bit. Yeah.
That's quite a bit of movement. And so the guy who was breaking it down to, he was trying to figure out if it was two pitches, like a sweeper and a baby sweeper, mm-hmm. or just if Max is fucking with the range, mm-hmm. just to fuck with hitters. He thinks it's just variance on the one pitch. So he's essentially...
But the primary slider that he was throwing last year was nowhere near... It didn't move anything like this, right?
No.
I mean, it was a tight button, just a quick late break,
right? Yeah.
Which is... You know, that's a good pitch in a certain circumstance, but I don't know that it plays well with a 12-6 curveball, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need something with a little more break on it side to side, I think. And this is, that's quite a bit different. I mean, going from a 1 inch or a 4 inch break to a 9 inch break, that's like the barrel is only 5 inches.
Right.
You know what I mean? That'll get you off the barrel at least.
Yeah. And so what do you think? I didn't really notice this because that's just not something I inherently see. But how do you, I mean, pairing this with a curveball, I mean, would this be the type of thing where if it comes out of the same arm angle, then a guy has to guess if it's breaking 12 inches down or 15 inches across?
Yeah, I would have to look and see where it tunnels from. I'm sure his release point on all of his pitches is the same yep. location, but... there's also like how the pitch travels, what it looks like out of the hand, and then what it looks like about halfway to the plate.
Yeah.
Or even three quarters of the plate if it's a fastball cutter. I'd have to look at that side by side to really tell, but I think it matches up pretty well with a changeup that's moving the other way too, right?
Okay.
So
essentially it's the type of thing where you have to guess if it's a changeup or a sweep.
Right. So if you're throwing if I'm throwing fastball, changeup, those are coming out of the same slot, but they're quite a bit different in speed. He throws a pretty straight fastball. There's a little bit of movement, but the changeup moves low and away to right-handers. When you see a changeup with a little bit of run on it, backed up with a sweeper like that, which is they're probably about the same mile per hour, I would guess.
Yeah.
It looks like the same pitch until it's too late for the most part. Unless the hitter's got really good vision and then they're going to see the button on that ball.
Yeah.
But even then, like that pitch is tough to hit. So it's all about location at that point. If you throw that pitch down the middle and it ends up 6 inches off the inside of the plate, if you hit it, it's not going anywhere. It's either going foul or you're breaking your bat in half. So yeah, it's a good pitch to back up. A sweeper like that is really good coming off of a changeup where a guy's looking for a fastball,
mm-hmm.
because it looks like a fastball for a little while and then it just kind of dives in there and breaks bats and misses bats. I like that pitch.
Dude, I mean, if there's a lot of good pitchers in the league, you know, like right now, Spencer Strider is an incredible pitcher, right?
He's averaging 90 strikeouts per inning or something. I don't even
something
know.
Obscene like that. Yeah, I mean, all that shit and fine, whatever. But even amongst the great pitchers in the major leagues, a handful of them have four pitches.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about guys that have had a lot of success and then added to their repertoire later on. You're talking about people like Max Scherzer,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, that do things like that. And that's not a bad role model to have.
Right.
As far as being good for a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 39 years old now and he's still doing pretty well because he's fucking smart. Well, he's on 10-day suspension now, but so not that smart. Although
I think he got
fucked. Why is the rosin bag on the field if you can't fucking use it?
Right.
So the rule says illegal substance. It doesn't say you can't have sticky hands. It says you can't use illegal substances.
Right.
But he decided not to even, he's being a dick about it, to be honest. And he's right to be a dick about it. So he said,
it can affect your legacy.
Sure.
But honestly,
yeah, he said that he's not even going to bother appealing it because it's the MLB running the appeal, not an independent neutral arbitrator. Yeah. So he's like, fuck you. You're just going to rule against me anyway. So right. I like that. I think he did the right thing there.
Three pitchers have been suspended so far this year for
all the same guy,
all by Phil Cuzzy, the umpire, which might tell you something. That's an interesting common denominator. So I kind of think Max is my guy. He's a Mizzou guy, but I think Max got fucked. But yeah, man, Freed with four pitches. I that's just,
well, you see even Strider's trying to do it now. He's trying to add that change up.
Yeah.
He's got to go with a forkball, man. I don't know why he's fucking around with a changeup. It's like I'm trying to think of power strikeout pitchers in the upper 90s who throw a changeup, and I can't think of anybody. The only one that I know that's a power pitcher that throws that fast is Sandy Alcantara, and he doesn't strike people out.
No.
He throws a sinker, you know what I mean? But he has a good changeup too, but that's to induce contact. Maybe that's what he's thinking. Maybe it's more likely to get soft contact on the changeup, and then a different pitch, a forkball, is just going to be swings and misses more.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that would make sense in so much that Strider still has efficiency problems. And part of that is born out of the fact that when you are a strikeout pitcher, a high volume strikeout pitcher, you are going to throw more pitches.
That's true. But I feel like he's still fucking around too much.
Yeah.
He seems like a pretty confident young man. He's got the stuff for sure. I just wonder, Greg Maddux needs the waist pitch. I'm not sure Spencer Strider needs that waist pitch. I think you just go right at guys and fucking dare him to hit it. Just throw three fucking fastballs, upper quadrant, inside, outside, and just fucking good luck, bitch.
So the best Strider start that I remember watching last year, we didn't actually win the game, hilariously enough, but it wasn't because of that. We lost the game after he was out, and he was out sometime in the fifth inning, I believe. But do you remember the Cardinals game he pitched? I think it was in St. Louis. That's what he did. I mean, he just pumped the zone, like literally with his slider and his fastball, just bang, 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 bang. And they couldn't do a goddamn fucking thing.
Yeah, let's see.
And he was pretty efficient in that game compared. I mean, because it was just strike, swing and miss, strike, swing and miss, strike, swing and miss. I mean, like,
struck out 12 in six innings. Only gave up two hits, and he only threw 100 pitches. Striking out 12.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
In six innings, and he only threw 100 pitches.
Is that the Cardinals game here?
Yeah, that was July of last year. We ended up losing that game in extra innings, but he didn't give up any runs. Walked two. So he walked two people, struck out 12, and still only threw 100 pitches in six innings. That's pretty fucking impressive. I mean, that's kind of what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Game score of 78. That's pretty. You can live with that shit.
Yeah, I mean, he was just fucking pumping the zone. It was incredible. But yeah, I mean, Freed with four pitches, my God, that is the type of thing where it's funny because, you know, that can keep him easily in through the third time through the order, but it's like, and that's nice, you know, for the regular season, if you want to save the bullpen or whatever. And it's nice for the postseason because you can whip out any pitch at any time. You're not going to throw more than seven innings in a postseason game regardless.
Yeah. And especially if you're going in a seven game series, if you're pitching for the second time, you can pitch backwards. I can start out with my sweeper and then back it up with my fastball, which is what he did in the 21 World Series, right? Yeah. He came out hard with that curveball and then fucking lit so many people up with a high fastball in that last game. It was really nice.
Yeah.
But you can't do that with, you can do it with three maybe, but you can't do it with two.
No.
Spencer Strider's only got two.
Yeah.
Although he throws 99.
With Strider is the type of thing where you maybe want to put someone like right before his second start, right? Because you know, they're not used to the velocity.
That's going to happen soon. As soon as, I think as soon as, and it may be Soroka, we'll get to that in a minute, But as soon as somebody's ready to step in to that number two hole, I think you do, as good as he is, I think you do move Strider down.
I think so too. I think, and we've talked about this before with Smoltz, where it's like, I wonder if it would have behooved Atlanta to, you know, obviously you can put those guys in any order, Matthews, Glavin, Smoltz, but I wonder if it would have, Glavin was always the two, and I wonder if it would have behooved the Braves to have Smoltz in the two as a sort of change up between days.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like Kershaw or Chris Sale or Randy Johnson or somebody like that, yeah, you go right, left, right. But Tom Glavin didn't pitch like a lefty.
No.
He was a right-handed guy that just happened to throw left-handed. So, yeah, probably. Bobby Cox wasn't the great at managing a fucking pitching rotation.
You know,
or staff in general.
He didn't need to manage them that much in the first place. And that's just a different era of thinking in baseball. But, yeah. So, anyway, speaking about the pitching, next up, I'm getting way too fucking excited about Mike Soroka.
I don't know that you can get too excited about him.
If he is back, like he seems like he might be back, as far as the regular season is concerned anyway, everyone is fucked. If 2019, even like 75% of 2019 Mike Soroka comes into this rotation, it's fucking over.
Yeah. He's the performance in Gwinnett at AAA has been very good.
Yeah,
obviously, 13.2 innings, I think, not three. Just 13.
Oh yeah. But, I probably missed it.
Yeah, 13 2/3 innings, 11 hits, 4 walks, 13 Ks, 1.32 ERA, 1.10 WHIP. The velocity's back up to where it was before.
it's a lot of strikeouts for Mike too.
That's more than you would expect, but it is AAA.
Yeah,
right.
True.
So I mean, there isn't a huge decline, or as huge a decline as there are for other levels of minor league baseball, but these guys are all on two-way contracts ready to be in the major leagues at any time, so they're not a bunch of fucking humps either.
Right.
But yeah, this should be very concerning for the league, to be honest, because you're talking about, even if Elder doesn't keep up what he's doing right now, you're talking about four guys in a rotation between Fried, Strider, Soroka, and Kyle Wright that could be legit number one starters anywhere else.
Yeah.
And then honestly, Elder's looks so good too this year.
ERA under two. I mean, Elder looks like, if we talked about before, he looks like he's made the leap.
Yeah, so do you remember, you know who Greg Maddux is, right? Remember that guy?
Yes.
Look up Greg. And look, it's not ever fair to compare anybody to one of the best at something of all time. That's just the kind of ridiculous thing to do. But this is Greg Maddux's stat line for his first two seasons in Major League Baseball. 36 games, or 32 starts, 8-18, 559. 5.59 ERA. His WHIP was 1.66, 10.8 hits per 9 innings.
Yeah.
That was his. And then all of a sudden, in 1988, he went on one of the biggest or the best pitching runs in the history of the game for 15 fucking years of excellence every single year. I don't think he had 1 year in that time period over four until 2004.
Yeah.
Right? So 16 years technically, and he had 1-2 seasons under two, and I think 7 seasons under three. that's a lot to expect out of somebody. I don't think Elder's quite there yet. I don't know if he would ever get there because Maddux is kind of an aberration. But to your point, yeah, I think that leap has been made now because he's doing. He's not making the mistakes he did last year, right? He's not. He would get up early in the count. One of two things. He would either go down 2-0 to every batter and have to fight his way back, or he would get up early 0-1, 0-2, and then throw a bunch of stupid pitches, trying to miss bats and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's not doing that anymore.
And he's not a strikeout guy. Like, you don't necessarily want him to miss bats. No. You want the shitty contact he's going to induce. But with Soroka, so let's say Soroka comes into the rotation, which I think it's obvious he will at some point.
I honestly, if he's not back by next week, I would be surprised.
Yeah.
I don't know why they wouldn't bring
him. That's stamina. It has to be conditioning.
Maybe, but it's if he can give you five innings at AAA, he can give you five
right
here. And it's not, nobody else is giving you more than five.
Yeah.
Typically in Major League Baseball. So,
So what does the rotation look like then? Obviously, you go, Fried and Strider are the 1-2. Wright is back right now. Kind of got roughed up in his first start, but whatever. It's, is what it is. And then you've got Morton and Elder there. So you'd have six guys for five slots.
Yeah. I kind of put Morton, honestly, I'd probably move Elder up to four and have Morton and, I'm sorry. Yeah. Move Elder up to four and have Soroka at three when he comes back, and let Wright, we'll see how his next start goes. He pitches tomorrow against Houston. If he does good, then it was a blip, and you just throw him right back into the three slot. But yeah, Otherwise we've got enough depth to give him a little standoff and let him work some shit out while he's still at the major league level and the rotation and shit like that. But I think the odd man out is going to be Morton. Should be too, because I want to save that arm for the playoffs a little bit. He's an older gentleman.
Yes, I agree with that. And, I agree. Morton's probably the guy, but credit to Morton. We can go to the next thing here. The pitching has been, everyone's hurt, really. Like, the lineup's hurt a lot, too. But the pitching has had injury issues between Fried, Kyle Wright. That's two guys, basically. It's, two-fifth-year rotation out. Mm. And, you've been plugging the holes with guys like Dodd and stuff like that. But credit to, like we talked about, Bryce Elder, who's got a 1.53 ERA, 1.25 whip, and a 2.60 FIP. So, his pitching, he's not getting lucky, per se. But Morton, too. He's 2-2, has a 3.22 ERA. He's doing, that to me is like the fucking definition of what we wanted him to do this year, right? Fill out the first half of the game, limit damage, be effective.
Yeah, and I wonder, he's the only guy on the roster, aside from, I think, Wright in the playoffs in 2020, that has experience coming out of the bullpen as a long reliever, if you want to call it that.
Yeah. Wright technically came out of the bullpen for that World Series game in 21, but that was after the first inning. We had an opener that didn't, I forget who it was, but it didn't go well. And then Wright came in and pitched, I think, four great innings.
Provided things go the way we think and Soroka's good, Elder continues, Wright gets back on track this week, having a guy like Morton on the mound to give guys a break when they need one, or as a flex like that, that's like having Debo Samuel as your fucking running back / wide receiver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That is a very, very good position for a Major League Baseball team to be in.
I'm getting to the point now.
Just to have an extra guy on the roster who can come in and throw high 90s, mid to high 90s,
yeah,
and eat up four or five innings in the middle of a fucking game is, holy shit, you can't fucking buy that.
I'm almost at this point now where I'm like nervous about how embarrassed with riches we are.
It feels a little bit like that last year in Golden State where everybody just got fucking hurt. It's like you tempted God too much. Like, oh, you're gonna make a good team, fuck you, and just destroys everything.
It's just like I don't know what to say about, like, I know this is a Braves podcast and I don't want to sound like we're just fucking sitting here filleting ourselves, yeah, but like, there's just so goddamn much. This is a bit how I felt. I always go back to 2003, because 2003 was the last time that I've said before that I thought we were going to win the World Series. Mm. Obviously, we didn't. But in 2003, I was like, where's the hole? Like, yeah, where's the problem? We are fucking loaded, fucking everywhere. And this is where I'm at now, where it's just like, I'm almost nervous because I'm like, the only reason we would lose or like not make a deep run in the playoffs or whatever is like us.
Yeah,
that's it. It would be our own fucking fault. Like, there's not even, at this point, the team's so good, I don't even want to hear about, like, well, we ran into a hot team, or well, the Phillies have a good top end of the pole. Like, we do too, everywhere, with everything. There's nothing we can't match. That, like, it would just be like an infuriating coin flip loss.
Yeah.
If we went out in the division series or something like that.
Or stupid mental mistakes, which most of the people on the team don't make. I mean, a lot, these guys are pretty locked in. The only people on the team that I'm worried about with mental mistakes, to be honest, are Ozuna, obviously, because he sucks at life.
And yes.
I really wish AA would take a page out of the Diamondbacks playbook and just cut that motherfucker and eat the money.
I hope that the Diamondbacks...
We'll start a GoFundMe, dude. Just get rid of him. Get him out of here.
I hope that the Diamondbacks cutting Bumgarner actually gives him the balls to,
seriously,
to do really that. Because, I mean, fuck it. It's fucking done. It's done. We talked about it enough before. But, like, yeah.
He's
and
terrible.
Then who would be the other one that you're afraid of mental?
Ronald Acuna.
Yep. Didn't he had a, I missed it because we were working, I think, but for the game three in the Padres, he had a pretty bad base running error in the first.
A bad base running error and also gave up a couple, two at-bats, I think. It just, his approach, he's still, I mean, look, he's, what is he, 23 years old? 20, he might be 24 by now. He's still riding on talent right now, and there comes a point.
He's 25.
It almost makes it better for people like Riley who are extremely talented but not quite as naturally gifted as somebody like Acuna to run into problems like this early and then change your approach. He needs that. That's the next level for Ronald Acuna, is his approach at the plate, because he gives up so many at-bats. On like an 0-1 or 1-0 pitch, he rolls over a fucking cutter outside and hits a weak ground ball to third base. Dude, you are a fucking power hitter in Major League Baseball. When you're one of the top five players in the league, that cannot happen.
Yeah,
it's just a lack of approach and a lack of mental focus.
Yeah, I would say still there's a lack of maturity there as well. Because, and what's annoying too is that, like, you will see so many at bats. I mean, so far you've seen it. He's hitting, or was the other, as of the other day, like 380 or something.
He's hitting 370 right now, I think.
Yeah, like, a lot of that is on the back of base hits that he has hit when he missed his pitch. You know what I mean? And so now, like, the pitch he was hunting, he missed it or it didn't come or something. And so now he's got to just battle through the rest of the at-bat. And he fights off balls or whatever and gets that base hit. You know what I mean? It's coming off of approach, essentially, right? But it felt like by the end of the Padres series, to your point with the rolling over cutters and shit like that, you know, he gets kind of like heat check and gets kind of like, I don't know. Does he get like mentally exhausted? Like he can't. He doesn't have the mental stamina to be locked in at all times.
So these are some and limited data set here, but these are interesting numbers. So, he's hitting 455. So when he makes contact on the first pitch, 455. 0-1-0. He's 0-4.
Okay.
And that's the one I see most common. Just him rolling over something.
I wonder if that, on a lot of those 0-1s, he's either mad that he didn't swing on 0-0 because, or he misses 0-0 and is mad that he didn't hit it.
Yeah.
And then 0-1 just swings it, whatever the fuck is there.
So on, on 0-2, he's hitting 571. On 1-0, so early in, if he gets his pitch, he's hitting 800. On 1-1, 625. On 1-2, 364 still. Now, on 2-0, he's hitting 0. No hits on 2-0.
Okay.
He's okay 2-1 and 2-2. On 3-0, he's only hit once. But on 3-1 and 3-2, he doesn't have a hit in 10 at-bats in either one of those. So I think that's an approach thing for me. It's like, if you're swinging on 3-1 and 3-2... and you're not, that means you're guessing, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, part of the approach is to look for a pitch in a certain part of the zone and take a swing at it. That wouldn't show up in this data because this only accounts for walks or hits, right? So that means he's not getting his pitch and swinging anyway.
Yeah.
More or less. Or he's missing it, which I don't think is probably the case because he doesn't miss much. He's not getting his pitch, but he's swinging anyway in these high leverage counts, and that's just approach, and it is a maturity. He's 25, but it's time to fucking turn it around, dude.
25 is about time. It's grow up time.
It just reminds me of when you see people that are clearly better than everybody else, like Patrick Mahomes, and how they lose focus sometimes.
Yeah,
that's really irritating to me. I want to see fucking excellence out of you.
Yeah. And I think part of it, too, is he still has, it's so funny with him. Like when you see him, you know, quote unquote battling in an at bat versus watching someone like Freddie Freeman or someone still on the team, Ozzie Albies, battling in an at bat. Right, Albies is actually a great example of this. I think I see when Albies is battling, I can see him playing defense at the plate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can see him putting the bat on the ball in terms of like, I need to foul this off, or I'm defending this part of the
play. That's not my pitch, but it's too close, so I'm going to fucking punch
yes.
it. Yeah.
I never see Acuña playing defense. I see him aggressively going after a ball, even if it's not his pitch. And if it gets fouled off, it's just because he fouled it off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't get the sense that I'm watching him be analytical, that I'm watching him be strategic or tactical with his approach. Like, it's where I do see that out of like Albies. So yeah, that's a frustrating situation, but it is what it is. And I would still, if I was going to say mybookie.com, bet on a Ronald Acuña Jr. home run most days. And if you do that, use the promo code Drinkin' Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000 at mybookie.com. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere there. We're betting a lot of baseball right now, even in some parlays and shit, I believe, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. So is Delco. He's betting the baseball parlays now.
I think Delco is he's a baseball bettor now.
There's a lot of value in those parlays. I mean, even a 3 or 4 game parlay, you're getting like 20 to 1 sometimes. So it's
yeah.
not bad.
Oh, yeah. And you know, it's kind of... baseball games are kind of coin flips to an extent, but if you have a vibe for how those teams are doing and who's on the mound and stuff like that, you can get some good you can get some good results. Speaking of good results, real quick, the Braves bullpen. Speaking of pitchers that have been holding it down while a lot of people have hurt, Braves bullpen been a bit depleted. Still ranks 5th in the league overall in wins above replacement. They are currently 3rd in the league in ERA at 2.71. But most importantly of all, the number one stat for me for a bullpen. They lead the league in whip.
Yeah.
Less than a runner on base per inning.
I mean, the team whip is 126.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good as well. Not as good as the Rays. They played a pretty shitty schedule. But yeah, having a whip under one, that's how you know a guy's a legit reliever.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the best indicator that somebody's a legit reliever. And it's interesting, the cast of characters they're doing it with.
I mean, right now, Jesse Chavez is the best reliever in baseball.
Yeah.
That's not going to hold, The numbers currently, man, he's fucking dealing.
Yeah. A.J. Minter has done a good job holding down the closer role. I mean, he's always got that talent. There was one year where he was a little off and just got behind a lot and ended up throwing belt-high fastballs and getting crushed for 3-run homers, but... for the last 3 years, he's been pretty locked in.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a long time for a fucking reliever. but, yeah, we don't have... Now that Edwin Diaz is out for the year, Raison Iglesias is probably the best closer in baseball when he's on the field. Maybe Clase from Cleveland is better. I mean, he's on the field right now, so he's better.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, they're doing a great job. I don't know who Joe Jimenez is or where he came from, but he's... had a pretty good couple of outings lately.
I mean, they're just filling in. Like, it is a very much a next man up. And this is what you want to have a bullpen more than anything. So I talk about the whip, but specifically, they're also third best in the league in walk percentage.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fucking walking dudes late in the game, letting, you know, a rally start to ferment. It's huge. And, like, they're missing... So Yates just came back, correct?
Yeah, he looked good the other day,
McHugh still out. Raisel Iglesias.
Yeah, I think McHugh comes back this week.
Yeah, he's been pitching at Gwinnett.
Yeah.
And Raisel Iglesias, I don't even know what the update on him is. It seems like he might be a minute, which is unfortunate. But you know what? If we have him for the second half, I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about having a closer in the first half.
And we do have a closer. I mean, Minter's excellent. So that's not an issue for me. But yeah, man, the bullpen doing it without even all of their talent, doing exactly what we expected, and I'm in love with it. One last thing I want to talk about really quick. I sent you an article the other day because I didn't know if you'd seen it or not from Fangraphs about Sam Hilliard.
Yeah.
I kind of think Sam Hilliard should be our starting left fielder.
Well, I mean, the defense is definitely there, and to be honest, I think the only reason it's not happening is because of Eddie Rosario. because it would be just two lefties platooning at the same position, and that doesn't make a lot of sense.
I kind of think right now I would like him in there instead of Eddie Rosario.
Well, he's definitely playing better.
Yeah.
And he's a much, much better defender. I mean, he's the fastest guy in Major League Baseball, I think.
He has a sprint speed in the 97th percentile. Yeah. And right now it's not an issue because Harris is out, so Hilliard's just getting more playing time anyway. But once Harris is back in center, I mean, Hilliard has a 180 WRC plus. He's slashing 375, 463, 563. His OPS is over
20.
Yeah, his OPS is over 1,000.
Not bad.
And so that Fangraphs article I talked about, it essentially said that Hilliard was killing himself the last couple years
trying to beat the shift. Yeah.
Yep. Trying to go the other way and beat the shift. And now that he's back with the Braves, they said they're like, what the Braves should do is tell him, fuck that other way shit. The shift isn't even there anymore. You're a giant man.
Yeah, correct for launch angle and just start fucking hitting bombs.
And he appears to be doing that. Mm-hmm. And he is also buoyed by the fact that he's not hitting into the shift anymore. Like, he's still hitting singles, stuff like that. Hilliard, I mean, I don't have any, like, sort of long-term projection or hope for Hilliard just because it's too soon and his career so far, et cetera. But he seems to be a sort of diamond in the rough find that we made this offseason. And I think, you know, the same way, 2 years ago with Soler, how we were like, you know, those numbers, obviously Soler had a 40 home run season a couple years before that. But with Soler, we're like, you know, those numbers don't really bear out how he actually looks. And I think Hilliard is putting up that type of year so far this year where we found a guy who, from the look of him, should have been doing better than the numbers indicated, and he just needed to make adjustments. And I want to see how far we can take those adjustments.
Well, so far in 23, his exit velocity is 95.5.
Good Lord.
Yeah. That's pretty strong. Let's see. Barrel rate is okay. That's pretty good. Hard hit percentage is 65%. I mean, that's high as fuck. It's a limited sample. I mean, it's only,
for sure,
only been 20 games or so, but or 15 games, however long it's been. I'm trying to find his launch angle and stuff. I would imagine it's not great for launch angle. Where is it?
But I mean, I want him in there as much as possible, just because A, the defense is there. So he should be in left or center most days because Kevin Pillar is a great defender, but you don't want him in the lineup every day.
Honestly, if Hilliard's going to be there, I'm not sure that he has a place on the team, frankly.
Pillar?
Yeah. I think you keep Rosario in that spot as a pinch hitter and shit.
I would say Pillar's end of the bench for like pinch running and stuff. By the way, Hilliard also has 3 stolen bases.
Yeah, he's fast as fuck, man.
He is really fucking fast.
Let
me see his launch angle.
Launch angle is 13.2, so he's close.
Yeah, it's not.
And it's up from, so last year, he was in the 80s for a while with his exit velo, and last year it popped up to 92. This year's up to 95.5. And the launch angle is about the same as it was last year, but it's a point higher than it was 2 years ago. So he's got some work to do there.
Yeah.
But he's close, man. I mean, he could definitely be. I mean, I don't know what we're going to look like when we have a 25 home run guy, 25 home run, 50 steal guy in left field every day, because that's what he's capable of.
Yeah.
That would be, again, just an embarrassment of riches right now. We've got no problems.
None.
We've got the Braves only have first world problems right now.
Yeah. Champagne problems for the Atlanta Braves. But yeah, I really would like to see more out of Hilliard. So we'll see. I mean, we will until Harris gets back. But once Harris gets back, I would like to keep seeing Hilliard. And I don't know.
I mean, I don't know why you even run. Right now, I would probably, when Harris comes back, maybe platoon Rosario and Ozuna DH until
Darno
gets back.
Yeah.
And then
there's no reason Eddie should be seeing the field.
No.
And I love Eddie Rosario.
Yeah, he's cool, but he's hitting 188.
Yeah.
You know, his OPS is 533, which is better than Ozuna's. his OPS is 429.
Jesus Christ.
083, he's only got 2 hits. I think they're both home runs. No, he's got 4 hits.
Two of them are home runs. Yeah. Yeah. That is what it is.
Time to move on, folks. Maybe we can trade him.
I would just...
Nobody's going to take that contract.
I would trade him for fucking hot dog vendor. just like a mediocre hot dog vendor to just work the stands. That's any fucking.
I mean, there's no fucking salary cap in baseball, and even if there was, the Braves wouldn't be over it.
No.
They're like what, sixth or seventh in salary or something like that.
Yeah, they're in the top 10 for sure.
Yeah, they need to launch this dude into the fucking ocean.
Yeah,
or something. I don't know. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of. I don't even like watching his at-bats anymore.
No, it's
brutal. Just like he flails three times and maybe he hits the ball and probably doesn't.
It's horrific. But that's all I got for today. Braves start a series with the Astros tonight. Should be a good one. Catching them hopefully at the right time because they're missing a couple guys. But yeah, that's all I fucking got.
Thanks for that, man.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.